This Chazor says, "Neshbach Chazoshuag, Vam Yehudim Tachat Chulin Daf Ayin Aleph." Bryce said, "Rabbi Yonis said, I said to Ben Azai, we learn clearly from the pasuk that the nevela of a kosher behema gives off tumah, that the nevela of a non-kosher behema also gives off tumah, and that the nevela of a non-kosher chaya gives off tumah. But the pasuk doesn't teach regarding the nevela of a kosher chaya. Where is that learned from?" He answers me. The pasuk says, "Kol hoylech al kapov bichol hachaya hoyleches," and the bichol comes to teach that the same applies to the nevela of a kosher chaya. I said to him, the pasuk doesn't say vichol and any; rather, it says bichol, which refers to a fetus inside his mother, and teaches that the dead fetus in a non-kosher animal gives off tumas nevela. He said to me, "What did Rishmol say about this?" I said to him, he said, "V'chi yomitz min ha-behema refers to a non-kosher behema, asher hi lochem li'ochlo refers to a kosher behema, and teaches that in both these cases it's tumas nevela. We have learned that a chaya is included in the category of behema, and that behema is included in the category of chaya. This teaches that a kosher chaya is included in the category of a kosher behema, and a non-kosher chaya is included in the category of a non-kosher behema, and a non-kosher behema is included in the category of a non-kosher chaya, and a kosher behema is included in the category of a kosher chaya." We'll have to see what all this means. Benazi then said to me, "Unfortunate for Benazi for not having learned under Rabbi Yishmael. In fact, how do we know that a chaya is included in the category of behema? If the pasuk says, 'Zoisa behema asher toichelu, shor say chwasim, ayel tzvi v'yachmor,' now the ayel and tzvi are chayas, and listen to the pasuk of behema. It must be that a chaya is included in the category of behema. How do we know that a behema is included in the category of chaya? If the pasuk says, 'Zoisa chaya asher toichelu, asher toichlu, mikol behema asher al ha'aretz,' the pasuk lists behema in the pasuk of chaya. Must be a behemoth is included in the category of chaya. When he said that a kosher chaya is included in the category of a kosher behema, he meant this for purposes of the kosher sign, split hooves, chewing its cud. When he said that a non-kosher chaya is included in the category of a non-kosher behema, he meant this for purposes of including a chaya in the iser of klayim. When he said that a non-kosher behema is included in the category of a non-kosher chaya, he meant this for purposes of the teaching of Rebbe and Abraisa. He says that the pasuk mentions that one who touches the veil of a non-kosher chaya or a non-kosher behema must bring a carbon. Now, what did he do wrong that requires a carbon? Rebbe explained, there's no reason for the pasuk to state the non-kosher behema since that's already included in non-kosher chaya. The reason it does so is to make it available for Gzeirah Shava, from which we learn that the pasuk is referring to one who became Tameh and then ate Kaddishim. The mark continues. When he said that a kosher behemoth is included in the category of a kosher chaya, he meant this for purposes of machalek between Ramei and Rabbanan. Ramei says if a woman miscarries something that looks like a behemoth, a chaya, or a bird, she's tummy as if she miscarries something that looks like a human child. Although the Torah only mentions yitzira regarding a chaya and birds, so since a behemoth is included in the category of chaya, it's considered as if it says yitzira by them also, by a behemoth also, and therefore can make a woman tummy. The Rabbanan argument say a woman only becomes tummy if she miscarries something that looks like a human. According to the Tanna Kamma, who holds that even the dead fetus of a non-kosher animal does not give off tumas nevela, how do they dash in the pasuk that Rabbi Yosi Haglili uses to teach that it does? And for tomorrow, they say the entire pasuk comes to teach a drasha of Rebbe, like we had in the Braisa. Zok, the next Mishnah, if the fetus of a woman dies when still inside her womb, and the midwife stuck her hand into the woman's womb and touched the dead fetus, the midwife becomes tummy for 7 days, as is halacha of one who touched the maize, but the woman remains tar until the fetus comes out of the womb. Zakti Gemara, Rabbi said, just as a tummy thing that's swallowed up is completely enveloped in something, it doesn't give off tumma, so too a tar item that's swallowed up also does not become tummy from other things. So, how do you know that a tummy thing that's swallowed up does not give off tumma? And where the pasuk says that one who ate in the veil goes to the mikveh and becomes tar at sunset. Now, this presumably it's even true for someone who ate the nevela immediately before sunset, in which case the nevela remained in the stomach undigested at sunset. We see that since it's totally enveloped in the stomach, it does not give off tumma. In fact, maybe the reason it no longer gives off tumma is because it's no longer fit for human consumption, and according to Bar Pada, once it's not fit for human consumption, it can no longer make a person tummy. And if tomorrow it would not be fit for human consumption if the person saw it being regurgitated in front of him. However, if it was not done in front of a person, the person who was unaware would eat it. Therefore, if not for the fact that fully enveloped tumma does not give off tumma, the person would become tummy. How do we know that a tar item that's swallowed up also does not become tummy from other things? And if it's based on a kavachomer, if a piece of a mace is put into and totally enveloped in a sealed earthenware keli, and it does not prevent the keli from becoming tummy and spreading to everything else under the same roof, yet if something tar is put into a sealed earthenware keli and is under the same roof as a mace, the totally enveloped tar thing does not become tummy, then regarding a person who does prevent tumma that's swallowed up inside him from spreading, he'll surely protect the tar thing that's swallowed up inside him from becoming tummy. Maybe an earthenware keli is different than a person because an earthenware keli does not become tummy from being touched with tumma on its outside, whereas a person does. And if tomorrow we're learning from tumma on the inside of the earthenware keli, which is even easier to become tummy since it becomes tummy through its ear sprays, therefore the kavachomer is definitely a good kavachomer. In fact, we now have sources for something that has been enveloped by entering the mouth of the person. How do we know that the same thing would apply to something that entered the person from the rectum as well? Where I said we have a kavachomer. If this is true when it enters from the mouth, which does not digest the food, then it's for sure true when it enters from the rectum, which does digest the food. In fact, the digestive system only digests food that enters from the mouth. And it's more the majority of the digestion is still done by the lower part of the body, and therefore the kavuchaim is a good kavuchaim. In fact, we now have sources for something that has been enveloped in a person. How do we know that the same would apply to something that's enveloped in an animal? If tomorrow we have a kavuchaim, if a person who can become tummy while he's alive prevents the spread of or acquiring of tumma on something that is enveloped in him, then surely an animal which can't become tummy when he's alive would prevent the spread or acquiring of tumma on something that's enveloped in him. We find that tumma of a person is more lenient than a behemah regarding clothing that he's carrying when he walks into a house with a nega. With halacha is that it only becomes tummy if he stays in the house for a minimum amount of time, whereas if an animal carries clothing into such a house, it will become tummy immediately. And furthermore, the halacha that the clothing only becomes tummy if he remains there for at least a certain amount of time is only for clothing that he was wearing, not for clothing he's carrying. Clothing that he's carrying actually becomes tummy immediately, just as it would in the case of an animal. Therefore, a person is not more lenient than an animal.